Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. And of course, what the world needs now is the heart of Christ in all of us. And to take that out into the world that is in such darkness, to bring His light into the world. My brothers and sisters, once again, it is my privilege and my honor to say to all of you, it is really you. You are really the evangelist to forward the gospel. Because without you, 35 years now, this Catholic Radio Apostolate has been completely supported in prayer and financially through no other than the family of our listening audience. And God will bless you abundantly. I know that you sacrifice. I know that you fast. And I know that you pray unceasingly for this Catholic Radio Apostolate. So I am ever so grateful. And my brothers and sisters, need I only say that for all of you, God will, He can't be outdone in generosity. And once again, I say you're the force. Without the underpinning of prayer for this Catholic Radio Apostolate, this voice would be silent. So once again, I thank and praise God for each one of you. Have a wonderful guest on today. A few months back, I interviewed his wife, Maureen, and I think you're going to be very interested in Ted Flynn. And, of course, Maureen Flynn, we interviewed a couple months ago, and we talked about many of the different works that they're involved in. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the promises, the beautiful promises of St. Faustina. And with that, I'd like to give you a little background on Ted. He is, first off, he's been involved for so many years. Ted is the author. Many of you read the book years ago. We used to talk about it all the time on when Dominic was alive, The Thunder of Justice. It was a best-selling book and was printed in several languages. And he's also the author of Hope of the Wicked. It was a book on the political philosophy of this new world order. He's also written several other books. And, you know, he's spoken in different 700 different venues all over. And we're blessed to have him with us today. And once again, I would just like to remind everybody that you can always go to his website. And you can talk to him today. I'm sure he will be open to taking your calls, maybe questions that you have, particularly into this subject matter. And once again, I'd like to welcome Ted Flynn. Ted, are you there?
Yes, I am. But to be honest, I can barely hear you. It's very, very faint.
Let me say something here.
Now, that's a little better.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Okay, but now whatever you just did, I'm doing well.
Oh, okay. I didn't really do anything. I was trying to see what was going on. But, well, once again, welcome. I enjoyed the interview I had with your lovely wife, Maureen. And I'm looking forward to this as well. So.
Well, when I heard that you wanted to actually speak about divine mercy, it is probably one of the several things closest and near and dearest to my whole heart. I mean, it's I believe the promises that the Lord made to Sister Faustina, and I don't say this lightly or casually, I think they're the single greatest promises in the history of the Holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church. I can't find any place in all of history where you see the breadth, the width, the substance. I mean, we know about Sister Margaret Mary and the Sacred Heart and Rue de Bach. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to what's being said here, it's the very, very DNA of God in His mercy, which is really what the entire scriptures are about.
You know, one of those, I don't know if you're going to touch on this today, but one of those promises from way back when that I remember distinctly, and I don't know if you're going to touch on this at all, but one of those promises that there would be one to come from Poland who was going to spark and ignite the world and prepare it for, I think it said, my final coming.
It's interesting you say that because, you know, I've been doing the things that we're doing. I've also, you know, worked and had jobs, and, you know, a lot of this has been an avocation for me. And just by kind of an odd circumstance in life, the Berlin Wall fell in November of 1989,
right.
And I had an office and an apartment in Warsaw, Poland, February 1st, 1990. And I learned a lot about, you know, Maximilian Kolbe and, you know, John Paul II, Karol Wojtyła and Wadowice, and learned a lot about, you know, Sister Faustina because of my project was down in Krakow. And, you know, I didn't know for a long time where it said that the spark would come
yeah.
from Poland. I didn't really know if that was the pontificate of John Paul II or the Militia Maculata of Maximilian Kolbe and his work, or if it was Sister Faustina. And there was a lot of debate on that, if you remember, in the 90s. And as it turns out, the spark from Poland is divine mercy.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, you know, just a couple weeks ago, I was speaking at a Charismatic Renewal Conference that we celebrated Divine Mercy, the eve of Vigil Mass. We close with that. And I really believe that this is, personally, it's a very urgent time in the church, and there's no time better than to have your expertise and to be able to discuss the promises that were given to St. Faustina. And I'd like you, and it's funny, like you said, you didn't even realize that at the time. I didn't know that I was going to open with that. But that's one of the promises I remembered very clearly. And I didn't know that they ever did determine, was it the Pope, was it Maximilian Kolbe, the Immaculata, or was it Sister Faustina and Divine Mercy?
No, I think the consensus is, you know, I mean, what you know, is defined as spark. It was, you know, a young priest by the name of Karol Wojtyła in Poland, who then became a bishop, an archbishop, a cardinal, and a pope,
right.
Who was actually the person, you know, her messages came under great, were in great conflict and were not sanctioned by the church due to grammar and other things, you know, right around 1958 and 59 specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really John Paul or Karol Wojtyła as a bishop and archbishop who opened the cause and then ultimately was the one who proclaimed, you know, who in 1993 beatified her,
mm-hmm.
and then in, you know, April of 2000 as the first saint of the new millennium, which I don't think is, you know, by chance either.
I agree.
You know, I think it's very significant, but, if you just, you know, if you take a look at the breadth and the width of what's being said here, you know, she is the saint of our time. She is the cause. I actually approached the messages of Sister Faustina in the very early 90s differently when I read them than, you know, the average Catholic, let's just say.
Right.
Because I had come from a deep scriptural background. I had just loved the scriptures, and if I even had a greater love, it was really the reading the Old Testament to see how Yahweh said something, and then it came through, you know, it all happened. And when I read Sister Faustina, I'd said, I've never seen messages like this anywhere. And, you know, I just don't think there is, and that would be somewhat of a consensus of many people who have studied this kind of thing. And I go back to Genesis 15, where Yahweh, in essence, made a deal in the vernacular, you know, with Abraham. And you look at Genesis 15, and this is the first thing I thought of to when you look at the messages of Faustina and how they came true and how strong they are, where Abram was wandering. He had come from Ur of the Chaldees. He had been literally worshiping false gods, or, you know, Herki, the moon god, literally. And then the Lord made a covenant with him. Yahweh made a covenant that can never, ever, ever be broken. The Lord has said, you know, that, you know, Israel on many occasions, you know, has been purified and chastised, and that's the history of the entire Old Testament. When Israel sins, they're purified. But the Lord said to Abraham, look at, you know, count the stars, and you'll have more descendants than the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And then he made a covenant with him to where he, you know, he brought him out of there, and he said, bring me, you know, the three-year-old heifer, the three-year-old goat, the three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. It's Genesis 15. And then he made a covenant with him that he said, I will do this. And then he said to Abraham, you will be in bondage and enslaved for 400 years. And then, you know, it was dark, and, you know, the story of the smoking fire pot went right down with a flaming torch right through the two pieces. And that became the covenant. That's a big, big mystery. And the fact of the matter is, the Hasidic Jews, the Orthodox Jews, and Jews in general know that there is a covenant made with his people called the Hebrews, and that will never, ever, ever be broken because it's a covenant. And now fast forward that there is, and if you look at Isaiah, there's this concept of free will. And I think this explains a lot about Faustina, that we have free will to either accept her messages or not. We can say yes or no, the way the Blessed Mother said yes and other people say no. And then there is a verse in Isaiah, it's 59:2, where it says, your sins have separated you from God. God never abandons us. He continues to love us. He continues to give us mercy, which is the message of Faustina, and God's very DNA. But through our free will, we abandon him, but he never abandons us. And when I read the messages, I said, and I was never really kind of the big novena guy.
Right.
You know, with a novena, just about, you know, if you did the blue book or the gold book or whatever, yeah, you'd be doing a novena every single day, every minute of every day. But when I read this, this is a novena that I've actually done and adhered to, and, you know, done the chaplet every single year from, you know, Good Friday all the way to the, you know, Divine Mercy Sunday. Because the promises are so significant, and I've actually seen them come true in my life, in the lives of countless others who have believed them.
Hmm.
And I suspect you have actually seen quite a bit of the same.
Yes, indeed I have. You know,
if you even take a look at John 10:10, one of the greatest, probably my favorite verse in the whole Bible, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
That's John 10:10, but what most people don't see, you know, there's an A and a B to that. The first part of that is Satan is out to destroy and kill as a thief.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that, you know. And so, you know, we have to realize that we're in a deep, deep spiritual battle. And ultimately, the message of Faustina is mercy and love. But are we saying yes? That's the part that comes back to Isaiah.
Mm.
Are we saying yes to the messages?
Yeah, that, you know, I think when the divine mercy and the promises, and you know, before her, before she was canonized a saint, I think a lot let up, and there was a great fervor in the church because of Blessed John Paul II, you know, canonizing her and making that date on the calendar for divine mercy, and because of that, there was a great fervor. But like so many Christians and so many Catholics in particular, that fervor oftentimes wanes. And we have to be brought back constantly, just like we need to be come to the, you know, the table to be fed and nourished with Jesus' body and blood. We need to constantly renew our commitment to divine mercy. We constantly have to be brought back to that word that was given to Saint Faustina, and particularly those promises. And I'm very much aware of, and I'll ask you about this too. I'm devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, of course, Our Lady to the Immaculata, but I have a great devotion to the Sacred Heart, always have, my whole family has. I went to speak at the first Congress in Paray-le-Monial.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one that they did about a year
yep.
or two ago?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been to Paray-le-Monial.
Yeah, and so it was a great gift for me to be there. But the bottom line was, I remember when St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, you know, the divine, our Lord said to her when he was concluding one of his prophecies, or one of the words he had given her, he said that the world is slow, the end of the world is slowly approaching. And then, you know, reading Sister Faustina, Saint Faustina, I remember that he made the comment to prepare for the dreadful day of my justice is imminent. And it's almost like in our own lifetime, we can, you know, almost, it was like an ultimate revelation within our own lifetime, I think, especially during the, you know, past 100 years. What
well,
do you
I think?
Think
when St. Margaret Mary was introduced to the church, it's specifically the time that it needed it.
Yeah.
I think if you take a look at the devotions, it's the time that the church needed. The Holy Spirit raises people up, devotion, saints.
Yep.
To meet the need, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And it's interesting, you know, you would be very hard-pressed to find a bigger fan of John Paul II than me. One, because I had, I read all of his encyclicals, I liked his charisms, I liked the way he spoke, his youth, etc. But even now with Francis, the Holy Spirit raises people up,
Amen.
Men and women,
Amen.
To meet the needs of the day. And, you know, for whatever reason, Sister Faustina, you know, I mean, she was born in 1905, didn't live long, died at 33, and was, you know, died in 1939. But it was this Pope where it was, John Paul II, where he said when the feast of Divine Mercy became the ritual in the church, you know, for the, you know, after Easter, where all divine mercy would
right.
be said. He said, this is the greatest day of my pontificate and
yeah.
the greatest day of my life.
Wow.
And, you know, you used the word prepare just a moment ago.
Yes.
Message 793 deals with just that issue, that you have to believe that the Holy Spirit meets the needs of the people in any given age. The grace is there.
Yeah.
In message 793 says, I am reliving these moments with Our Lady. And don't forget, her messages came when she was in front of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
With great longing, I am waiting for the Lord's coming. Great are my desires. I desire that all humankind come to know the Lord. I would like to prepare all nations for the coming of the Word incarnate. O Jesus, make the fount of your mercy gush forth more abundantly, for humankind is seriously ill and thus has more need than ever of your compassion. You are a bottomless sea of mercy for us sinners. And the greater the misery, the more right we have to your mercy. So there you go.
Absolutely.
You are a fount which makes all creatures happy by your infinite mercy. So in other words, as sin abounds, grace abounds, and that's what she's saying. You're a bottomless mercy for sinners, and the greater the misery, the more right we have to the mercy. The more the world goes into a continual spiral downward, which will continue, anything short of a divine intervention, because the very nature of history and political philosophy is that the sin is unable to turn itself around until there is a divine intervention, like a Jonah going through the streets of Nineveh and saying, repent.
Mm.
And when that doesn't happen, you can see places like, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, and you can see nations, you know, basically end up in the trash bin of history.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to look at modern-day history, or history in general, the United States is the 23rd great empire in world history. And every single empire has had an incline and decline, or ascent and descent, exactly the same way, with the same steps. And that's pretty much precisely where the United States is today. And the world, you got to remember, these messages of Divine Mercy and, you know, the Red Book, they're not just for Philadelphia or Poland or anywhere else. They're for the entire world.
Absolutely.
And the world itself is spiraling out of control.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Ted. And I guess I think it's even stated so much when we think about, I mean, we're talking about 16-something when, you know, between 1650, I guess, and 1690, when St. Margaret Mary Alco gave her messages. And I find it amazing that, as I said, that the Lord's words to her so long ago was that the end of the world is slowly approaching. But yet here in our own time, in our own, you know, in our own history, St. Faustina, one of the last words that he spoke to her was saying that the dreadful day of my justice is imminent. And so that's why I think it's the urgency is for right now for divine mercy. And I think we're going to find that out. You know, we need a wake-up call, if you will, to wake up, you know, wake up.
Well, you know, it's speaking of the subject of preparation, and, you know, we just read 793. 848 is also along this same line where it says, my daughter, speak to the world about my mercy.
Mm.
Let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy. It is a sign for the end times after it will come, the day of justice, which that's message 230, the day of justice.
Yeah.
While there is still time, let them have recourse to the fount of my mercy. Let them profit from the blood and water which gush forth from them. These are very, very strong words. And you know, people have to recognize that you and I are talking here, and we're not making this stuff up.
Right.
I mean, we have a certain view of this. But listen to the action words. Prepare all nations. Coming of the Word incarnate. Mercy gushing forth abundantly. Compassion. Mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy, a sign for the end times, the day of justice. And the Lord specifically said, you know, there will be mercy before the day of justice.
That's right.
But I can tell you that this world does demand justice. God is a just God, the twin pillars of mercy and justice.
Yeah.
And due to the sin of the world, a purification would be required from a scriptural standpoint because of the degree of sin. Hmm. And it's not here, or it's everywhere. The whole world is involved in this.
Yeah. And I think we forget that there's no sin so great that the infinite, loving, merciful heart of God cannot forgive. And sometimes I think people think they're so far away from God, so far away from His love, that there's no return, when the good news is this is a time of divine mercy, and there's no sin so great that God's compassionate and loving heart is, you know, it's inflamed with that intense longing for all souls. And so I think this message has never been, in my own opinion, has never been more timely or more pertinent than it is for our time now to turn away and to turn back to God, because it is a time of mercy.
Well, I think your point on that there is nobody that's turned away is probably, if there is literally a kernel of truth in a single thing that should be remembered, it's about anything to do with divine mercy. It's just that. Jesus comes for people. There's a verse in Jeremiah where the Lord, where somebody asks what the person's sin was. And the Lord said to Jeremiah, I forget.
Mm.
Forget.
Yeah.
And it says in the messages of divine mercy, it says, even as a person's sins are as scarlet, they are washed away as white as snow. Think about that. That's an incredible, that goes back to this Abrahamic type promise, that if you are sincere in forgiveness and repentance, that there is no sin in the world. And, you know, when I started reading these messages in the late 80s and early 90s, but really started getting into them more in the mid-80s, because we had actually devoted our apostolate to Our Lady of Guadalupe and Divine Mercy. That's who our apostolate's devoted to.
I remember, yeah.
For 25 years. And so that's very clear in our stuff. But when I began to read them, you know, I've been a student of history. And I'm going, understanding Pol Pot with several million dead in Cambodia, now Kampuchea. Stalin, where they say the purge, and depending on your footnote, I always say as a writer, you're only as good as your footnote, but the minimum would be up to 30 million Ukrainians and Russian purged in the Gulag system under Stalin, with probably the outside number at 50 million. So let's take a number in between. And then Hitler. It really, as I read these messages, if any one of those men or any great sinner on their deathbed were to ask for forgiveness of what they had done and what they had done and be sincere, they would be totally forgiven. Now, they may not sit up with St. Vincent Ferrer or Catherine Laboure or something, or Francis of Assisi at the right hand of the Father, and, you know, do not pass, do not go, but go straight to heaven here.
Right.
They would not go to hell.
Right.
If they were sincere in asking for God's mercy.
Let's hold that point right there. We're going to take our usual break. And Ted, would you be kind enough to answer some questions if I open up the phone lines?
Sure.
Okay. And when we come back, one of the promises I'd like to have everybody praying for, the priest would especially adhere to, is that one promise where every priest who worthily receives the holy sacrifice of the Mass on, I think it was for 30 consecutive days, in addition makes the Stations of the Cross daily, that he receives for himself and another soul selected by him the assurance of eternal salvation. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
We thank God for our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, and in his Sion Catholic Radio has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy, and in his sign, has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic Radio and the Internet. With God's grace, his word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In his sign, proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. All of the staff at In His Sign, even Kathleen McCarthy, the president, donates all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Once again, I have with us Ted Flynn. We've been talking about the divine mercy and the beautiful prayers and promises from our Lord to St. Faustina. And on the last segment, Ted so beautifully went across the scriptures and really talked about the Abrahamic beginnings of the fulfillment, the coming, the promises way back then, to what we know even today as the mercy of God through the beautiful revelations of St. Faustina. I've asked Ted, and he is open to receiving your questions. We already have some lines open. And one of the things I wanted to get to before we let you go, about the promise, one of those first promises I share with our listeners. I'm always telling everybody to pray for our priest. And what better way to pray for our priest, Ted, and would you agree with me, than to steer them to soak in the word, in God's word, of those promises, of God's divine promises revealed through St. Faustina, particularly in regards to the promise about priest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's face it, the order of Melchizedek.
Yep.
Abraham paid tithes to the Melchizedek, who always was and always will be. And when with the 12 tribes, Asher, Dan, Joseph, Judah, Levi, Reuben, and if you take Issachar, if you look at the 12 tribes, one of those tribes became the Levites, which was the Old Testament version of the priesthood. And so the tribe of Levi became the priestly class, and, you know, we have the extension of that now all of the way through Peter. And they, you know, they're the caretaker of these sacraments. A lot of people are often critical of a lot of priests who don't speak on certain things, and, you know, I've fallen in that category [S2] Yep. [S1] Many times for certain, as has everybody else. But a priest is actually the custodian of the sacraments. He's the custodian of the Eucharist, you know, the physical presence, the, you know, the rhema, the living God. And there's nothing more important than nurturing that. And I can tell you, people even in apostolates, in the work that, frankly, you know, you do, Kathleen, people [S2] Yes. [S1] Like you, there's a lot of spiritual warfare around this stuff.
Absolutely.
That a lot of people don't really understand and appreciate how vicious that really is. But now think of a priest and the good that they're doing and the warfare against that individual. You know, instead of criticizing these people, we should be praying for them.
Absolutely. I'm going to put this call through from Dominic. Perfect response to that. Let's get this in. Hello, Dominic?
Yes. Kathleen, thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, and by the way, Ted Flynn's one of my best favorites, if I can say that. And I know he'll give the glory to God, but I appreciate all his writings, especially the Thunder of Justice. Ted, here's my question. I'd love to hear your response. As you know, the purpose of Jesus appearing to Sister Faustina was to help prepare the world for the second coming. And as you know, at Mass we say, as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Honestly, as a Catholic Christian, I don't see people waiting in joyful hope. In fact, when I talk to them about the second coming, not only do they misunderstand it, but they kind of run away. They're fearful. In fact, your wife said there's a fear factor in the Catholic Church, and that's why priests in general, ministers of the gospel, don't talk about such subjects, especially private revelation, warning us. And also, a final question is, when I celebrated Mass on Divine Mercy Sunday the last couple of years, there was no mention of the indulgences. You know, we have like a second baptism, and also many priests across the board are resistant to comply with John Paul II's request. It's a mandate that they should celebrate it. So I'll hang up. I know it's a lot to digest, Ted, but I appreciate your response, and God bless.
Thanks, Dominic. God bless. Are you there? Ted? Are you there, Ted? Okay, well, Ted is, let me get that answer from Ted, who, somebody's playing with the phone lines here. Yeah, somebody's not wanting those comments. Ted, did you hear the questions?
I did. I heard the first one, and I think I just got disconnected halfway through it. But the first one was, in essence, on the fear factor,
yes,
is what I heard. And what was the culmination of the second question?
Pretty much along the same lines, and that was about the indulgences.
The indulgence, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. It's a very, very profound question, and I don't say that lightly at all. Why, in essence, what he's saying, Dominic's saying, is why are we not hearing it?
Mm-hmm.
Which I contribute really to several things. Once you start getting into private revelation, in getting away from, you know, but now Sister Faustina is approved, so it's,
yes,
in a different realm. I mean, we dedicated our apostolate to, you know, Divine Mercy and Our Lady of Guadalupe in 1988, and we had some nasty letters, actually, from some fairly well-known people today about why we were promoting something that was not approved in the church. But I think there's several reasons, and one goes right back to human nature. People fear things that they really don't understand. Once you have to leave your comfort zone. So I always like to bring everything back to the life of Christ. There are a lot of people that, you know, when Jesus was walking the earth, followed him. Some became disciples. The inner ring was Peter, James, and John. Then there were the 12, and then there were the 70, you know, and then, you know, work out concentrically. And then there was the multitude. And then they had people like, you know.
I don't know what's going on here, but Ted, did you get cut off again? This is unbelievable. Harry, my engineer, is in there putting his hands up on the air. Only thing I can think of is that Ted might be driving and he's on a cell phone. That's all I can think of. He'll obviously be calling right back in. That's all I can think of because nothing's going on here. Nobody's touching anything. Harry's raising his hands to say he don't know what happened. Evidently, this is a powerful program. And then once again, I just want to assure everybody that I'm sure Ted will call back in. He probably is on a cell phone. He's probably answering that question and doesn't realize that he's no longer on the air. Let me get Dominic back in here. Dominic.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes. Kathleen?
Yeah. I think maybe he is on a cell phone because he said he, you know, when he got cut off before, he wanted to call right back, and now apparently he's cut off again. So I don't know if he's on a cell and he's in an area that's, you know, coming in and out. But
yeah. Well, maybe I can
shut
maybe
your radio
repeat,
down. Shut your radio down. Could you please shut your radio off?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. I'm in another room, but I'll tell you very much. I really appreciate this program because I believe that most people listening are going to learn a lot, and I believe that's the essence of where we're at: divine mercy.
Right.
Versus God's divine justice.
Absolutely.
That we're obliged to receive as a result of disobedience.
Right. Now, he did answer the one about...
He's going to come back on, but I'd like to point out another question that he can answer possibly after he talks about the indulgences, which are,
right.
You know...
That's what he was about to talk about.
Yeah, but the second question, if you can remind... Since her job, her mission was to help prepare the world for the second coming, I find most people that I speak to are fearful of the concept of the second coming. Instead of looking at it as the fulfillment of John 10:10, I come to give you life, and I'd like him to clarify the second coming because it's not the final coming, she says. You know,
it's
the time to prepare the world, say, for the... the good times, you know,
right.
The era of peace,
right, era of
peace on
yeah.
earth instead
yeah.
of all the world wars that we experience. And I'd like him to consider the possibility of first time to clarify the second coming rather than the end of the world, which
right.
is not according to the diary. And that's basically it.
Okay.
And I appreciate this program very much,
well,
Kathleen.
Well,
God
thank
bless.
You very much. Ted is back, so I'm going to click off and...
Okay.
Try to get him back on the line. All right. Thank you, Dominic. God bless.
God bless.
You always have great questions.
Thank you very much.
Well, my brothers and sisters, I do believe that Ted Flynn has called. Let me try this again. Are you there, Ted?
Yeah, I think we need to call the Maytag repairman.
Okay, we better call on the Living God to put his hand over this program because evidently the evil one doesn't want this word to get out. You were answering you answered the question very well, and you were going to get into the indulgences. One of the things Dominic called back and while we were waiting for you to call in, also mentioned another thing. Now we only have about 14 minutes left. So one of the things, and I think it's very important and has to do with why are people afraid of hearing about the second coming, and is that one of the reasons, of course, it's not always preached about. And forthcoming. But he also said, you know, that second coming isn't about the end of the world. It should be of time, just what you talked about earlier with the fulfillment of John 10:10. I came that you might have life and have it to the full. And I think people get frightened when they hear, you know, wake up, prepare yourselves. It's a time of mercy for the second coming. And the second coming is not the end of the world. What have you to say on that matter? That's his other question. Are you there, Ted?
The church has actually modified, and I say that word very, very judiciously, on the issue of the second coming as a result of the writings of Sister Faustina. There seems to be, with her, what is called the interim coming.
Yeah.
Now, with Sister Faustina's writing. And it's not to say the church has changed its position, but if you would even look at the catechism, and then, you know, if you want to get into the thousand-year reign and millennialism and all of these issues theologically that, frankly, don't produce much fruit in a person's life, so, which is why I don't really address them.
Right.
But the issue is, it's fairly complex, and the catechism itself is not clear on this.
Yeah, it is a little ambiguous,
They don't make this dogmatic yes, no, black, white, you know, kind of decision. But we do know this. The interim coming of Sister Faustina deals with an issue where it appears as there's going to be some sort of manifestation, which many people attribute to this concept of the warning or the illumination of conscience.
Right.
Where if you look at message 1146, because I kind of pulled some of my notes out before the show, right before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy.
Hmm.
He who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice.
There you go.
And, you know, there it says where the wounds in Sister Faustina, you know, the rays where the wounds of Jesus, you know, the rays coming to the earth. But it appears as if you take a look at a lot of the leading mystics in the world, approved, and then some like Medjugorje that are not approved in the church, nor will they be for quite some time because the visionary is still living.
Right.
And so, you know, some people have heartburn with that, and that's okay. You don't need to believe in it to go to heaven. But the fact of the matter is this is kind of spice for us of showing the urgency of our day. It's kind of like Jesus walking the earth, and he said, can you not read the signs of the times?
Right.
And yet he had, you know, kind of some followers. He had Peter, James, John, the apostles, who did believe it. And I think the single greatest question in all of human history is when Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am?
Mm.
And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, it has not been flesh and blood that has revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so back to Dominic's question, which is a very, very good one and valid one. If we have a grace where we have said yes, it doesn't necessarily mean the whole world is going to come along with us. You know, and even Padre Pio spoke about the burden of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and the suffering that goes with that.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus suffered. He saw the sin of mankind, you know.
That's right.
And so it's a very good question, and if people choose not to abide by it, then we need to go around people and find people who do, who we can, you know, in essence, you know, congregate with and form prayer groups who have said yes to this grace. Not everybody's going to do it.
That's right.
We need to understand, and we don't also don't need to beat them up about it. It's that's okay.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's the beauty of God. He waits to be invited in. His grace is there, but we have to receive it. And I couldn't agree with you more. I mean,
and again, back to the life of Christ. How many were at the foot of the cross? How many
exactly,
apostles?
Exactly.
Only
Ted.
One. Only John, as an apostle, was at the foot of the cross.
Right.
And then there was, you know, Mary, Blessed Mother, and But, you know, the other boys had kind of headed for the tall grass due to fear.
That's right. Exactly right.
So why do we think today it's going to be any different? You know, the church is going through Calvary.
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to be up your way just by chance. We're doing this because this was booked months ago. But we're going to be up your way and literally in Malvern Retreat House, May 18th,
yeah,
speaking about these very, very subjects at an all-day retreat.
Right. And again, that's May 18th, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Malvern Retreat House. And if you will, all you have to do is call Malvern, make your reservation. A lunch will be provided. Is that correct?
No, actually, you know, Malvern is where we're doing it. But if they go to sign.org,
uh-huh,
we're not booking anything actually through Malvern.
Oh,
you
okay.
Know, we're actually doing the booking, and then we can tell them how many rooms. But
okay, very good.
You know, sign.org or Signs of the Times.
Right.
Is actually doing all of the administration on it beforehand.
Okay.
But these are the subjects, literally, that we're going to be getting into on an all-day seminar.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And, you know, again, to go back to your point, when you were talking about the Lord, not everybody, I mean, that's why the word remnant comes up time and time again. Not everybody will receive that grace in that's offered so freely to every person in the world. God would have no souls lost. And yet, there will be those that will not receive it. Even when he said, you know, when the people said, oh, this is too hard. They, you know, eat your body, drink your blood. This is too hard. And this is crazy. And they walked away. He didn't run after them and say, oh, you're right. You know, this is only a symbol. It's not really what I meant. He let them go. And I have to think, like you said, when he turned to the apostles and he said, do you want to lead me too? To whom else shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life.
But Peter said something very interesting when that question was asked. He said, where else would we go?
Yep, to whom else
can we go? Once you have embraced this truth, you have had God's best. You know, I've been doing this sort of thing in different capacities now for 36 years. We had a pro-life counseling center, and now we've had the apostolate now. And, you know, if I've learned one thing, well, I've learned many things, some the hard way, but some are going to respond and some are not.
That's correct.
And the key is that, you know, if we've been given this grace, as we've spoken about, the promises of divine mercy are so significant, they have to be looked into. Even for the many people, you know, who maybe not be familiar with it, you can just get the little booklet versus the big
right.
book of the diary itself as a primer. But the promises that are given are unlike any single thing in history. And think of a person who's dying that you can pray for them, the chaplet oath of the dying, and that if they say yes, if the person, you know, back to the free will, which is why I mentioned Isaiah 59, it is the free will of the individual, but the Lord gives us chance after chance to say yes. John 17, the high priestly prayer, not one be lost. That's heaven's will.
Absolutely. Well, I want to tell you, Ted, give us your website again so that people, can go to that. Also, they can, I'm sure there's all kinds of other information on your website that can really be great resources for people to click on, and I'm sure they'll be able to see so much of the work that you and Maureen do. And I just want to say to all of our listeners today, especially for our priest, please take this message to all of our priests and for all of us who have received that wonderful gift of St. Faustina's works. Go over it and over again, and always let it be before us God's great mercy. Would you like to lead us in a prayer as we go off the air?
Sure. Lord, we ask every single person here today to embrace your graces as they never have, the superabundance. I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. that it's ours for the asking, and that the Lord is asking for trust. There is one thing that he continues to ask for, and that is that we trust him, and that when we do that, we will get God's best. So we ask that everybody here today prostrate themselves in prayer and ask for God's best for their family and all of their loved ones and all of their endeavors, because his mercy endures forever.
Amen. And once again, I want to remind everybody, please go to sign.org. All the information's on there about the retreat. Also, it's a great resource, and you might find a lot of things in there that you didn't know, and it's a beautiful time to take a look and to see all the resources that they have for you, the magazines, videos, you name it. So once again, Ted, may God continue to bless you as you continue to walk in holy boldness, you and your wife, and indeed a beautiful example of Jesus, I trust in you.
That was a great way to ask. Got to always say that, Jesus, I trust in you. Okay, well, listen, thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
All right, God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
My brothers and sisters, I also want to remind all of you for our own upcoming retreat at Malvern, May 31st, June 1st, June 2nd. Again, this is a healing retreat. You know, my brothers and sisters, if ever we needed to have our hearts healed, our minds healed, our bodies healed, our spirit healed, it's now. There will be a generational mass. You can bring all your family members, and if you can't, you can put them on the altar in pictures. And Father DeLacy will be doing a generational mass to really go back and to break the effects of those sins that still are generational. Also, my brothers and sisters, whether you come as a single, or you come as a family, or you come as a husband and wife, it is a time for all of us to receive the healing power of God. The theme of it is, Save me, Lord, and I will be saved. Heal me, and I will be healed. Again, Father Steve DeLacy and myself, it'll be our sixth annual healing retreat. And it is a powerful time indeed. There will be also people who have experienced God's physical healing, as well as emotional and spiritual healing. They will be giving their witnesses, as I do every year. So call Malvern and make your arrangements. Again, time is of the essence, so please call over there and make your reservations for the May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd. I want to close with a prayer, a healing prayer for all of us today, and all those who are sick, especially Bill Powers and Regina. Lord, we ask your healing prayer for all the sick. May your pure and healthy blood circulate in our ailing organisms. And may your pure and healthy body transform our weak and unhealthy bodies. May a healthy and vigorous life flow within us. If it is truly your holy will, and in your infinite mercy and through the powerful intercession of Blessed Virgin Mother Mary, St. Joseph, her most chaste spouse, St. Anthony, St. Francis, St. Faustina, and especially a prayer for our Holy Father, Francis. If you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you until we meet again. May he hold you close to his sacred heart, the divine heart of mercy, and may he bless each and every one of you until we meet again.